This is your Super Tuesday NXT edition. Solid Monster Sounds Off review here for Tuesday, September 1st, 2020. I am the Solid Monster. This is the first stream on the channel for the month of September. We have turned the page on what was a huge month of August for the Sound Off, really the Sound Off in general, not just the YouTube channel. We had our biggest month ever on the YouTube channel. Probably the biggest month ever in the history of the show. And I've been doing this show for almost 13 years. So I have all of you to thank for that. And let's try to top it in the month of September. What's going on, guys? There is a Labor Day sale going on. It starts Thursday at noon Central. That's 1 Eastern. And it runs through, I believe that's next Monday. So if you want to get 20% off, whether it's our store or someone else's store, on ProWrestlingTees.com, be sure to take advantage and use the code Labor Day before you check out. I was looking forward to this main event all week long. You guys heard me last week. I came on here for an NXT review. Last week we had a rare situation where the two shows were not competing with each other. And it's going to happen again next week and again the week after. So we're going to get a lot of NXT reviews here in the month of September. And I told you guys that I was really looking forward to this match. This had the potential to be one of the greatest matches in NXT television history. You're taking four of the very best champions you've ever had, including the longest reigning NXT champion in history, and putting them in a ring together for 60 minutes. What's not to like? And you're guaranteeing that you're going to crown a new champion on TV. I thought to myself, surely it's not going to be the WrestleMania 12 situation where nobody scores a fall, they go all the way to the end, because that would be lame. The one thing that they did good in that match, I will say, I was concerned coming in. We do have a tendency in NXT, as much as I love these guys, and I'm a big fan of their matches, and for example, I think the Johnny Gargano-Adam Cole match in New York last year at TakeOver is the greatest NXT match in history. But they have a tendency to have far too many false finishes in their matches, way too many kickouts. We see it over and over and over. Even I have to admit, it's too much. The format of this match tonight did help cut back on that a little bit. I mean, you had plenty of near falls and people hitting their finishes and kicking out, but it wasn't ad nauseum. It wasn't at the level that it normally would be. So the format kind of helped, I think, in that respect. We had each guy picking up a fall. They didn't go crazy with the falls. It's not like this guy had three and this guy had two. I would have liked for there to be a little more action in that respect. But again, you have a match where you are telling people a new champion is going to be crowned. You are telling people to invest 60 minutes of their time into this one match. You have devoted an entire hour of your two-hour show into this match through all of the picture-in-picture and all the commercial breaks, only to have it come down to a tie. I would have been able to digest that a little bit better if it was a 30-minute Iron Man match. And in some ways, I think maybe it would have worked better. Especially if they knew that was the finish they were going to do, this should have been a 30-minute Iron Man match. But they went the full 60. And then to have it end without a new champion crown, just to get people, oh, you got to tune in next week to see the outcome. I know why they did it. I understand wanting people to tune into your show next week. But this ain't it. This ain't it. That was not the finish to do. And I'm willing to bet that left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. I haven't had a chance to ask everybody in the chat. I'm going to guess that there's a lot of very unhappy people right now in the chat. And it's too bad because these four guys went out there. I saw Johnny Gargano's tweet earlier today. You know, Johnny Gargano was on Twitter. He was talking about, you know, normally the toxicity of social media, blah, blah, blah. He's basically kind of beating up on the fans a little bit before the show even went on the air. WWE guys have a tendency to do that, if you haven't noticed. But I get his point. He just wanted people to just enjoy the match. We went out there, we busted our ass. I think the show was taped. I don't know when, but I don't believe it aired live. And they did. They went out there and they worked hard. There were parts of the match I liked. There were parts of the match that I wasn't really a big fan of. I felt it dragged in a few spots. It's not going to go down as my favorite Iron Man match of all time. But these guys are out there busting their hump, and then it comes down to the final seconds, and you pull that bullshit finish out of your ass. And the other thing I don't like about it is these guys were out there for an hour, right? They're out there for an hour. And they're trying to get, some guys are getting near falls, kicking out and stuff, right? We had very few falls in this match. And it all comes down to those final seconds, right? The convoluted finish where Adam Cole just gets that final fall in right at the buzzer, like a split second. I don't like that. I don't like that. It's too contrived. Up to that point, fine. But to do it, oh, we got to do it right at the last possible second because they want to do it for drama. We've seen that finish before. It's too contrived. I didn't like that aspect of it either. So they didn't do these guys any favors with this finish. That's what I'm saying here. I thought they did these guys a disservice with that finish. So I'll have more thoughts on that match coming up here in a little bit. Aiden Rusk in the chat wants to know who won the title. The answer, Aiden, is nobody won the title. The title is still vacant. The championship is still vacant. You know, I feel the same way about this finish that I felt, just to kind of tie it back to another time WWE did this. Think back to 1998, right? The Attitude Era that everybody loves to romanticize about. Do you remember another situation where they did this? There was a vacant championship that was on the line. That was a pay-per-view, too. That was a pay-per-view main event. And it was The Undertaker against Kane. Stone Cold was the referee. And I guess they kind of got away with it because back then, Stone Cold could do no wrong. He was like a god. And the big story was Vince McMahon firing him. You want to know, like, a different time in a different era. There were people who called Titan Tower, flooded the switchboard the next day with calls, pleading with the company to allow Steve Austin to be rehired because they seriously believed that Vince McMahon fired him. That's how much people believed back then. But they promised you a new champion, and they didn't deliver. They had Stone Cold beat both guys up, and then it dragged on into the Deadly Game Tournament. I didn't like that either. I didn't like it then. I didn't like it now, 20-plus years later. You're cheating your audience when you do a finish like that. Let's talk a little bit about Mauro Ranallo. Mauro Ranallo was not on the show tonight. Mauro Ranallo will not be on the show anymore. We haven't seen him for the last few weeks. We found out today that his mother apparently is in poor health. He has been up in Canada, which is where he's from, being with his mom. I don't know how bad it is. It doesn't sound good. But he's been away from home. And WWE had a very interesting arrangement with him because he has not done commentary from Full Sail during the pandemic. So if you remember when Mauro was there and they had Tom Phillips for a while, they would cut to Tom Phillips at the announce desk and he was the only one sitting there. There was no Mauro, there was no Beth. Beth Phoenix isn't there either. They have these people set up at home so they could work remotely. Well, if Mauro's not home, he can't work remotely. He can't do commentary from his mother's house. But he made the decision, I guess. I don't know if he's been unhappy. I don't know if he's just ready to move on. But he decided to leave WWE on his own. It was his choice. It was not the company. He didn't get fired. There was no incident. Remember the whole last time he was on SmackDown for about a year and a half? How that ended? This was not like that. This is said to be an amicable parting of the ways. Mauro wanted to leave. I don't know what that says about the situation that Mauro, you know, who is a big fan, and I would assume genuinely enjoyed being there and working with Nigel and all of them, and Nigel was furloughed. I don't know what his status is. What does it say that Mauro said, you know what, I'm not really happy doing this anymore. I think I'm going to leave. So, unfortunately, we're not going, and there it is, by the way, on your screen right now. One of the new Super Chats. I love that image that Randy Orton put up on the Tron last night. Yeah, a lot of times when they do these Photoshops, they try to do comedy on Monday Night Raw. When I say it's hit or miss, it's like 93% miss. That was funny. I actually laughed at that. So I said, I got to clip that and make that a Super Chat. But Mauro, again, Mauro is gone. And I really think the match tonight, the main event, struggled a little bit without him. I think this match was right in his wheelhouse. I think he would have done really well calling a match like this. And unfortunately, and Vic Joseph, look, you know, I don't want to knock the guy, but Vic Joseph is okay. He's fine, but there's nothing special about Vic Joseph. There's nothing special about Tom Phillips. There's nothing special about a lot of these announcers in WWE. They sound the same, they act the same, they do all the same stuff. You know, they tell you the match is over when the match isn't over. It's, you know, One of the things I liked about Mauro, even if you weren't really a fan of his, he had his own distinct voice. He's a professional announcer. The guy called one of the biggest fights of all time 3 years ago, Conor McGregor against Floyd Mayweather. One of the biggest fights of all time. It made millions of dollars. And Mauro Ranallo was the voice of that fight. I'm sure that's why WWE loved having him around. He was a legitimate announcer. He was still doing MMA and boxing, too. He had a very special deal where he could still do all these things outside the company. Nobody else is allowed to do that. Nobody else is allowed to do what Mauro did. So, he's going to be fine. I don't know what his plans are. I'm sure he'll do MMA. I'm sure he'll do more boxing. He'll be fine. But I guess as far as wrestling, it's now a thing of his past. Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett was back this week. This was his second week on NXT. I love Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett was made to do this. He's got the voice for it. I mean, we knew this if you heard him on NWA Power. When they brought him in and I heard that it was a one-shot and his future was kind of questionable if they were going to do more with him, give me a break. When do they bring people in for a one-shot? Are you fucking kidding me? WWE is going to bring people in, have rotating tryouts? Maybe I should have tried out for the NXT announce spot. As soon as they brought him in, you knew that they were going to negotiate something, and they're still negotiating. Nothing is, I guess, a done deal yet. But now comes the news that they are negotiating with him, and they're hoping that they'll sign him to a contract and bring him back to the company full-time. I endorse that move wholeheartedly. We need Wade Barrett on NXT. Wade Barrett is excellent. He's great. I'm a little concerned because there's been talk about them wanting him on NXT UK. I don't want him on NXT UK. I don't watch NXT UK most weeks. I want him in NXT. You don't bring Wade Barrett into the company to send him on over to NXT UK. The hell with that. He needs to be on this show. He needs to be the balance with Vic Joseph over there. So I thought he was tremendous again, and hopefully they'll be able to get the deal done, and they'll be able to bring him on in. That's my hope. That's my hope. More Wade Barrett. Now, let's get into this show. This really was a one-match show. I mean, realistically, this was a one-match show, but there were a few other matches. The show opened with Legado del Fantasma against Breezango and Isaiah Swerve Scott in a street fight. I like the fact that Legado del Fantasma came out for a street fight wearing street clothes. I thought that was a nice touch. I am old enough to remember the days when guys would wear army fatigues. They would put the black paint under the eyes. They would wear the jeans and the boots. You're going to be in a street fight, you may as well wear street clothes. So this was just all action right from the get-go. Weapons and plunder and all the stuff that you would expect in a street fight. Fandango did the old Terry Funk spot from ECW, ladder on the shoulders, spinning around, wiping everybody out with the ladder. So Tyler Breeze grabs a fire extinguisher. He sets off the fire extinguisher. So what do? They go right to commercial. Right? Hit the fire extinguisher and go right to commercial. So they come back, Santos Escobar. He hits the old King Cuerno. I call it the death tope. This guy has, I mean, he gets some speed on this thing. That's why I say King Cuerno. He used to do that all the time in Lucha Underground. He would kill people like a missile out of the ring with this dive. So he destroys Killshot with it outside. Oh, I'm sorry, Swerve. I'm still in Lucha Underground mode here. I look at these guys. I see King Cuerno and I see Killshot. I'm sorry. I miss Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground would have given you a finish to this fucking main event tonight. I'll tell you that much. Imperium comes out. They attack Tyler Breeze. Turn it into a 5-on-3 handicap match. Poor Tyler Breeze now is all by himself. And all of a sudden, maybe 30 seconds later, we see a forklift has been driven into Full Sail University. It's right there. Right outside the ring. I don't know who drove it. I don't know if it was Fandango. I don't know if it was a stagehand or somebody. All I know is that Fandango and Swerve were on top of a platform on top of this forklift, and they did a dive all the way down onto the heels. I guess it must have been Fandango. He tweeted during the show. He said that he actually had a forklift license. He got his forklift license for about a month back in 2003. I wonder why a month. What must have gone wrong that he lost his license after a month? That's what I want to know. So the finish came with Swerve Scott catching Escobar with the JML driver, the half Nelson wheelbarrow deal that he does, slams him down, and he pins the cruiserweight champion, which sets him up nicely now. That sets up Swerve very nicely now for the next crack at the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, which he was in line for the title shot anyway. I don't mind him pinning the champion here because he's going to get the shot. What I don't like is when they have people on TV pinning the champion if they're not next in line to get the shot. That to me is stupid, but we know he's getting the match. I thought it was a good opener. It was just a fun opener. All action. No rest holds. You know, it wasn't boring or anything. It was entertaining enough. We had a Tegan Knox video talking about her longtime friendship with Candice LeRae. Where did it all go wrong? She wants to repair the broken friendship that they once had. She wants to fix things. That leads to a match, Candice LeRae in action against Casey Catanzaro. Casey comes out with Caden Carter. Casey and Caden. Let us hope they don't add another member to make it a trio whose name happens to start with a K, because that would be very bad. Casey and Caden's inner corner. They made them a tag team recently. At least they're trying, right? We need more women's tag teams. They have women's tag team titles. They have no women's tag teams. It's all a bunch of singles wrestlers put together. The one women's tag team they had, they broke up. And whether you like the Iconics or not is not the point. My point is, the one actual women's team they had is no more. Because Peyton Royce is going to apparently be pushed now as a single, which I am all for. I didn't really give a shit about the Iconics as a unit. Peyton Royce as a singles, I'm interested in that. I definitely think that there's potential there. For sure. So this was 3 minutes. You know, 3 minutes long. Candice LeRae got some offense in. She actually had a pretty good neck breaker in the ropes. Takes down Casey with that. Looked like she was wrapping her up for some kind of leg submission, but instead, she curb stomped her into the mat. This was not a Seth Rollins curb stomp. This was a American History X curb stomp. This was a Pirate Paul Burchill, just full face curb stomp into the mat. And she pinned her 1-2-3. So Candice gets on the mic and she's going to address Tegan Knox. She gets on the mic and she says, you know, I also want to fix things. I also want to resolve things. I want to repair what we once had. And so she says, come to my house. Dinner is on me. That's what she says. Come to my house. Dinner is on me. I just hope that when the chaos ensues and they start tearing up the house, that they don't knock the picture of Doc Hendricks off the wall. We've seen that picture on the wall, right? Good old Doc. I hope nothing happens to that photo. Rhea Ripley, quick promo in the back. She is sick to death of Mercedes Martinez. She is sick to death of the Robert Stone brand sticking their nose in her business where it doesn't belong. She says, I thought I took you out last week or 2 weeks ago with that powerbomb on the concrete, but I guess not. She goes, you know what? I don't want to just have any ordinary match with you, Mercedes. We're going to have a match. We're going to have a steel cage match. And later in the show, Mercedes Martinez accepted the challenge. And so next week, next Tuesday, again, it is going to be another Tuesday edition of NXT. Although I think this week and next week, they are replaying it tomorrow night on Sci-Fi. But I guess with the NHL playoffs or whatever, it got Is there still an NHL game tomorrow? I don't watch hockey. I have no idea. If the series is over, if I'm them, I would just replay it on USA. But the whole reason NXT is on Tuesday tonight is because of the NHL. And I know they're replaying the show on Sci-Fi tomorrow night. So if you're interested, there you go. But we're going to get a cage match next week. I am looking forward to that. Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martinez together in a match, steel cage. Sounds good to me. Sign me up for that. Then we had the Colossal, Bronson Reed. That's his new nickname. Is it the Colossal or the Colossus? I heard the Colossal. Not a bad name. It's better than the Bodacious Barefoot Bro. The Bodacious Barefoot Bro. I'll take the Colossus or the Colossal, whatever the fuck. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. At least the nicknames are marginally better in NXT. So he took on Timothy Thatcher. Thatcher's kicking at Reed. He's on the ground, kicking at his legs. And Reed says, basically, the hell with this. He hits a giant, just standing senton, dumps all that weight, and there's a lot of it, dumps it all right on top of poor Timothy Thatcher. Probably knocked the wind right out of his body. So then Bronson Reed hits a tope, because everybody, no matter how big or small you may be, has to do a dive. So he does a dive through the ropes, and he takes down Timothy Thatcher outside. And behind the referee's back, I guess Thatcher maybe was back in the ring and the ref was occupied with him. Here comes Austin Theory. Tackles. I mean, he tackles Bronson Reed from behind, clobbers him from behind. It almost looked like a running bulldog that he gave this guy on the floor. Back in the ring. And Timothy Thatcher locks Reed in the Fujiwara armbar, and he's struggling. He's trying to break free, but he can't. He's got nowhere to go. He's got that armbar cinched in. And so Bronson Reed taps out. And that would seem to set up Timothy Thatcher now for the first shot at the North American title, owned by Damian Priest. You know, before it didn't make any sense because Thatcher lost to Finn Balor at TakeOver. Bronson Reed had a win on TV over Damian Priest before he became the champion. But now he lost. See, they took both guys. They put them in a match. Timothy Thatcher wins. He should be next in line for a title shot. Simple. I like Timothy Thatcher, so I look forward to that match. But this match was too short to be anything special. There was nothing special at all, actually, about this match. So it's 10-9, right? 10-9, and we're already getting ready for the main event. Up next is the main event of the evening. The entire final hour of NXT is to be devoted to the Fatal 4-Way 60-Minute Iron Man match for the vacant NXT Championship, vacated last week by the injured Karrion Kross. Vacated, I assume, because the injury is more serious than they expected. I hope not, but I assume that means he's going to be gone for a while. Sucks for him, but here we are. Title is vacant. We need a new champion. Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Finn Balor, and Adam Cole, fresh off his win over Pat McAfee. Now, the show must have been taped because apparently there was some kind of leak earlier. I avoided it, but I did go when the show was over. I went on WrestleVotes page on Twitter, and WrestleVotes has proven to be fairly reliable with their scoops and their news. And WrestleVotes mentioned that there were two potential finishes being debated for this match. One of them, which thankfully we did not get, although we got the other one. He actually predicted the other one. But the finish we did not get would have had Pat McAfee interfering and costing Adam Cole the NXT Championship. Which, I don't like that at all. As good as Pat McAfee looked at TakeOver, he got beat. The better man won. Pat McAfee is best in small doses, and I certainly don't want this fucking guy interfering in the main event and factoring into the finish, the final minute or two of a 60-minute match. But I'm not sure which is worse. I think both finishes are horrible. Anybody interfering like that and screwing the matchup would have been terrible, and what they did was pretty bad. So, frankly, it's just picking the lesser of two evils as far as I see it. This was the first hour-long Fatal 4-Way Iron Man match in WWE history, and the first Iron Man match of any kind in WWE, 60 minutes, first 60-minute Iron Man match in over a decade. I didn't realize it had been that long, but that's what Vic Joseph mentioned. So you guys know the rules. The most falls within the hour wins, And the winner becomes only the second two-time NXT champion in history, behind only Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura. When Shinsuke Nakamura actually gave a shit, when Shinsuke Nakamura was actually looked at as a big main event player. Remember how excited everybody was when Nakamura came over from New Japan? I was in the building the night that he wrestled Sami Zayn in Dallas. I think it was Dallas. At that TakeOver show. The atmosphere. Oh, the first entrance. The reaction of the crowd. You would think this guy was Michael Jackson walking out there. People were so excited. And now it's like, oh, it's Shinsuke Nakamura. He had a match on TV last week with Jeff Hardy. I could hardly bring myself to care. It only took 3 years. Actually, it's been that way for a while. It took less than 3 years. And I can't even put all the blame on WWE. Nakamura bears some of the blame for that, too. But boy, you talk about night and day. I do miss those days. So, here we go. Tommaso Ciampa, he takes Balor out of the ring early on. Takes out Gargano, too. Gives both of them running knee lifts outside the ring. Now, this is the first, like, 60 seconds, 90 seconds of the match. Ciampa's got both guys outside. Running knee, sprints over, hits this guy. Sprints over to the other side. I'm thinking to myself, this is not sound strategy here. Why is this guy sprinting around in the first 60 seconds of a 60-minute match? That does not seem very bright. So right off the bat, Tommaso Ciampa not exactly showing off his mental acumen. So 5 minutes in, Gargano took control of the match, takes out Balor, takes out Adam Cole. He's working over Cole's left arm. All of this psychology, by the way, was gone by the end of the match. So he's working over, like, the left elbow, and Cole's favoring his arm, and by the end of the match, you would never know. Maybe it was all the adrenaline, but you would never know that he had been working with an injured arm earlier in the match. Ciampa gets back in a few minutes later. Now it's time for him to work with Finn Balor. They all took turns here. Unfortunately, this is kind of the format of how a lot of these matches are in WWE, Fatal 4-Ways especially. Now, guys get taken out, they roll out of the ring, we get these two. Okay, now it's time for the other two, and they take turns. So we got a lot of that here in this match. They had a Tower of Doom spot with Ciampa powerbombing Balor and Cole from the top rope out of the corner. As soon as he did that, Johnny Gargano was outside the ring. He pulled Ciampa's legs out from underneath him, from behind, and he posted him right in the nuts. Pulled him nuts first, right into the ring post. So he won't be having any kids anymore. It's a good thing he has the one. Probably won't be having any more. Balor hits the 1916 to Johnny Gargano. Johnny kicks out. Sling Blade follows. Shotgun drop kick in the corner. And up goes Balor for the coup de grace, but Johnny moves. Ciampa comes right in, drops Balor with the air raid crash. Only gets a near fall out of it. Only gets a near fall. And then they abruptly cut to their first picture-in-picture. We got a lot of picture-in-picture in this match. AEW does the same thing. Is it better than not showing anything at all? Not to me, it's not, because I don't pay attention to it. I can't watch that. I can't watch the picture-in-picture stuff. I just can't. A silent little box. I can't do it. So to me, I don't really, maybe it works for you. I don't get the appeal of the whole picture-in-picture thing. It's just the thing I don't like about it with AEW, and they've gotten better at this, but AEW had a really bad habit early on of having important stuff happen in the picture-in-picture. And I'm not just talking like in-ring stuff. I'm talking like backstage, promo-wise, during the picture-in-picture, and not always replaying it or explaining to us what happened when they would come back from commercial. Thankfully, NXT doesn't really do that. NXT, you're just watching the match. There's a rest hold. That's the whole thing. Like, if you're working a rest hold, who gives a fuck? You know? Picture-in-picture so I can see you do a headlock. Fuck out of here with that. Who cares? So we come back from our first picture-in-picture. It's Adam Cole holding up the Too Sweet sign for Balor. He puts it up. Balor Too Sweets him back, but Balor don't trust him, and Balor immediately takes him out. He don't need no friends. It's an Iron Man match. You're not here to make friends. You're here to beat the piss out of the guy and pin him. Finn Balor understands this. So he sends Cole outside. And now Balor's running wild. Dive out over the top onto Cole and Gargano. Balor outside now. He's stalking. He's stalking Tommaso Ciampa. Hits him with a shotgun dropkick. Heads to the other side now. Another shotgun dropkick. This time to Cole and Gargano and, yeah, Gargano and Cole. Hits them with a shotgun dropkick. Puts Adam Cole back in the ring. And the coup de grace to Adam Cole. Finn Balor scores the first fall of this Iron Man match. Finn Balor was my pick to win. So I'm excited. I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm sure things are going to get knotted up, but all right, first fall here. Because I said coming in, I said there really is only two names who make sense to win this. Johnny Gargano should not win this match. And Adam Cole does not need to be the NXT champion again. Adam Cole is coming off the longest run in NXT history as the champion, over a year. Why put the title back on him? What sense does that make? So the only outcome that really made sense to me would have been Finn Balor winning or Tommaso Ciampa winning. Tommaso Ciampa just came back. He wants the title back that he never lost, just like Roman Reigns. Didn't we just see the same thing on the main roster? What makes Roman Reigns so much more special than Tommaso Ciampa? Roman Reigns is crowing, I never lost that championship. Well, neither did Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa got hurt. He wants Goldie back. So I was kind of hoping maybe Balor wins. It sets up a singles match for the next TakeOver show in October. That was my first mistake. Fantasy booking and trying to figure out the outcome here. But Balor got the first fall 26 minutes into the match. So we move on. Balor now slowing things down with a front face lock on Gargano. And we go back to the picture-in-picture. Lovely. And by the way, this is the problem with doing... And this is why they don't do them very often. This is the problem with doing a 60-minute Iron Man match on TV. I don't know that we have had a 60-minute Iron Man match on TV since the one with Triple H and Chris Benoit on Raw in 2004. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It was Triple H Benoit on Raw in 04. The year before on SmackDown, we had Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar. I don't believe we've had a 60-minute Iron Man match on television since then. Unless I'm forgetting one. We've had some 30-minute Iron Man matches like Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels. But there's a reason why. There's a reason why these matches are not really designed for TV, because the constant commercial breaks, it just kills the flow of the match. And I said last week, that's the only thing that I wasn't looking forward to, were the constant breaks interrupting the flow of the match, and then just stalling and doing rest holds. So we got a lot of that, unfortunately, in this match. There was a spot outside the ring where Tommaso Ciampa, indefinitely in the chat, Cena versus Cena back in 2011. Unless that's some kind of match I must have missed, the John Cena imposter, I don't recall Cena versus Cena in 2011, unless you're thinking of Cena Orton. And that was on pay-per-view. That's actually one of the better 60-minute Iron Man matches they've ever done. I'll tell you what my favorites are when we get to the end of this review. Ciamp is outside the ring. He's going to do the Jake Atlas spot to Adam Cole. Last week on TV when Ciampa came back, poor Jake Atlas, he beat the fuck out of this kid. He put him outside the ring. He put him headfirst under the ring where all the metal beams are. And he gave him a slingshot. And he went up throat first into the beams. So he went to go do the same thing here to Adam Cole. Balor, though, saved him with a basement dropkick. Now, why would Finn Balor do that? What is the reason that if you are in a four-way match and you see one guy is about to cripple the other one and take him out of the equation, that's one less opponent for you. Why would Finn Balor save Adam Cole? Why not let him do the move first and then dropkick him? That didn't make any sense. But he saved him. Balor tosses Ciampa back inside. But Ciampa catches him with a DDT, and he hits the fairy tale ending. Gargano grabs Ciampa before he could capitalize and go for the pin, and he tosses Ciampa outside, and he steals the pin on Finn Balor, that little rat bastard. Johnny Gargano picks up the second fall. And we are all knotted up now, one fall apiece, with Gargano and Finn Balor 34 minutes into the 60-minute match. Adam Cole hits the last shot to Tommaso Ciampa. Ciampa kicks out at two. We did have a few kickouts of finishers, but again, not nearly as many. Not nearly as many. If this were a TakeOver main event one-on-one, we would have had like 10 different kickouts. 10 different kickouts from like five different finishers. So at least, again, they were able to dial it back a little bit here in this match. Ciampa, though, gets right back up. Now, Cole hit him with the last shot. That's his finish. And Ciampa gets right back up. He turns Cole inside out with a lariat. Balor hits the sling blade to Cole, sets up for the shotgun drop kick, but Cole hits him with a super kick. Gargano slingshots himself into the ring. And as Gargano is slingshotting himself through the ropes into the ring, Adam Cole catches him. Boom! Super kick right to the face. So now Gargano is taken out. And he follows that up with the Panama Sunrise to Gargano to pick up his first fall, 36 minutes into the match. So now everyone's picking up a fall here. This is where things start to pick up, and all of a sudden everybody's picking up a fall. Ciampa now is the only one. Tommaso Ciampa is the only one who has yet to pick up a fall in this match. We're 36 minutes in. Ciampa's got to play catch up. He does a double Willow's Bell, that double DDT. It's not really a draping DDT. Kind of, I guess. It's not like the Randy Orton draping DDT. Double Willow's Bell to Cole and Gargano. Fairy tale ending to Adam Cole. And Tommaso Ciampa gets his first fall. 38 minutes into this match, everybody, all four men now, are all tied at one fall apiece. We are right back where we started at the very beginning of this match. And I'm thinking, okay, that's to be expected. I expected everybody was going to at least get one fall, maybe more than one. Here's where things start to pick up. That's what I'm thinking. That's my mentality here as this match is going on. Inside, Balor and Ciampa, they take each other out with a double clothesline. Outside the ring, it's a double super kick spot. Down goes Gargano. Down goes Cole. Ciampa goes for an air raid crash to Adam Cole off the middle rope. Cole slips out, super kicks the back of Ciampa's left knee. Ciampa goes down. He's favoring his knee. Back to picture in picture we go. Off I went to go take a leak because I'm not watching picture in picture. I'm sorry. So I come back. There's still a commercial, by the way. I'm very efficient. I don't take a long time. It's not a long stream. I'm not talking about the stream I'm on right now. I'm talking about a different stream. But anyway, I come back, and the commercial break wraps up. We come back, and Balor puts Ciampa in a single leg crab. So he's working over that leg, right? Now we're playing into the psychology of it. Ciampa's in a bad way. He's in agony. He makes it to the ropes. Sling blade. Ciampa gets up, sling blade to Ciampa, shotgun dropkick, Balor heads up top. Now we've got less than 10 minutes left. We are T-minus 10 minutes in this match. And we've got the double foot stomp coming up by Balor. He misses. Ciampa moves out of the way. He misses it. Johnny Gargano takes him out. He takes Adam Cole out. Gargano with a tope out onto Ciampa, knocks him backwards into the plexiglass. Same to Adam Cole on the other side. Now it's Johnny Gargano's time to shine here in this match. Gargano with a tornado DDT on the floor. He takes out Finn Balor. Picture in picture. So we come back from picture in picture. Gargano has Cole locked up in the Gargano escape. And Ciampa drags them both outside. So he drags them outside. We're still tied up at one apiece, by the way. So we're still all knotted up. Less than 3 minutes left now in this match. Ciampa with the Jake Atlas spot to Gargano. This time he hits it. And Gargano is catapulted up, throat first, into the metal beams underneath the ring. Puts him inside. He's got him pinned. Adam Cole, though, drags Ciampa out of the ring. He interrupts the fall. He drags him to the outside. Ciampa tries again. Tries to get the pin, that is, and Balor now drags him out. Ciampa limps. Once he takes him out, he's like, gonna try again. He limps back to the ring, and as soon as he gets into the ring, Johnny Gargano cradles him. And I thought that was a fall. They got me on that one. It's a very close near fall. Now we got 45 seconds left. We're down to the nitty-gritty here in this match. 45 seconds. The only 45 seconds that really matters. Out of the last hour I've been sitting here, right? It's a 45-second mark here in this match. Ciampa drops Gargano off the middle rope with the air raid crash. Balor, though, comes off the top right after that with a stomp. Right on top of Ciampa, and he gets the pin with 20 seconds left in the match. And Wade Barrett, and I love Wade Barrett, but already on week two, Wade Barrett, the victim of this WWE formula, he announces that Balor's the champion, even though the match is not over. It's the equivalent of saying, he's gonna win! So what do you think happened? Finn Balor, with 20 seconds left, he's got a win in his back pocket, and out of nowhere comes Adam Cole with the last shot to the back of the head, and they timed it where, with 3 seconds left in the match, Adam Cole pins Finn Balor. Adam Cole pins Finn Balor. So now we've got two men who were tied up at two falls apiece. And the bell rings, signaling the end of the match. The match is now over. So here we are. You know, we have a tie. It's like the 1994 Royal Rumble all over again. What an awful decision that was, too, by the way, Jack Tunney. I still, after all these years, don't understand why he didn't just send him back in the ring to restart. No, we'll have co-winners. Idiot. William Regal comes down. William Regal doing his best Jack Tunney impersonation here. William Regal comes down. He's got the championship. Who's the champion, right? All this controversy. And he announces, he says, next week, we're going to have Super Tuesday 2. Super Tuesday Part 2. The sequel. The sequel is rarely better than the original, by the way. And next week, we're going to have a singles match. One fall to a finish. Finn Balor, one-on-one with Adam Cole. And whoever wins that match will be declared the new NXT champion. We are going into sudden death overtime 7 days later. You got to wait a week to find out who the new NXT champion is going to be. That is if they even crown a new champion. Maybe next week, there'll be another fuck finish of some kind. Maybe they're going to drag this out until TakeOver in October. It'll become like a running comedy skit. How many times can we come up with some kind of finish to not have a new NXT champion crown? So we got a tie. We just spent 60 minutes of our time watching this match, invested in this match, a match that I thought the match was very good. I don't think this match is going to be looked back on as one of the all-time great matches in NXT. It just didn't feel like an epic match to me. It was missing something. Maybe it was missing the live audience. Maybe it was missing that takeover feel. Maybe it was missing a proper fucking finish. I'm sure all of those things played a role. I did think it dragged. I mean, look, every Iron Man match is going to drag in parts. But Iron Man matches can be set up in a whole variety of different ways. You can set it up in ways where you try to get some of the really exciting spots in, you know, the later part of the match, come up with some kind of clever spot. I mean, we've seen this before in some Iron Man matches. But I just felt it was missing something. The effort was there. They busted their asses. They had a very good professional wrestling match, but this will not go down to me as one of the all-time great NXT matches. I was kind of hoping it would. I saw the caliber of everybody who was involved here, and I said, how could this not be? How could this not end up being one of the greatest matches in NXT history? If it's on the list, it's probably like a top 50. I just don't see it in that upper echelon of matches that, you know, 5 years from now, we're all going to want to go back and watch. That's how I feel about it. The finish did not help. I understand why they did it. I do understand that. I understand why they did it. I wish they would have come up with some other hook for next week. Because I just think this was a cheap cop-out finish. And maybe it would have been a little more palatable if it was 30 minutes and not 60. Maybe that was their fatal flaw. The match should have been half the amount of time it was. If you knew you were going to drag this out an extra week and not give people what you pretty much promised you were going to give them, I don't know if they ever said that we guarantee there's going to be a new champion, but it's implied that if you're going to have a match for a championship that's vacant, that people are going to want to see an outcome. They're going to want to see a finish. And I thought that they smacked their audience in the face tonight, the NXT audience especially. I think NXT fans have certain expectations for NXT that are different than the expectations of the main roster. Believe me, the main roster expectations are very different. I think people sort of expect to be fucked over in various situations. Not necessarily in NXT. So I thought that that was a cop-out finish and was just an insult to the people who spent an hour watching this match tonight. You can't do that at the end of an hour-long match. I know that, you know, back in the day, Ric Flair would have all these 60-minute Broadways with people, and there were many of them that went to a draw. But this is different. You know, he did that probably on a lot of live events, but this is a TV main event for a vacant championship. You got to give people a finish. You have to give people a finish. Now that they're doing the singles match next week, I have to believe Finn Balor is walking away with the title. I just think it's pointless to put the belt back on Adam Cole. What is accomplished? What is achieved? He does not need the title. But you put the belt on Finn Balor. Finn Balor is the closest thing out of these four guys to a babyface. None of them are really babyfaces. Finn Balor hasn't done anything different. He's still got that attitude about him. He's kind of heelish, but he was kind of the de facto babyface in this match. And I think putting it on him and maybe building to something with him and Ciampa is the way to go. Ciampa just came back. You can't, you know, you got to keep him in the mix. To me, you want to go towards Balor and Ciampa, I think, heading into that TakeOver show in October. That should be the match. So I hope that's the direction they go in. Where does this rank in terms of, my personal favorite all-time Iron Man matches? I've said before that my favorite WWE Iron Man match of all time, it's not Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. I thought that was a good match, but it's highly overrated. The WrestleMania 12 match is highly overrated. My favorite Iron Man match in WWE was Judgment Day 2000, Rock and Triple H. There was so much going on in that match and the hot crowd and even the finish. You had a controversy with the finish, the American Badass debuting, coming out, inadvertently screwing The Rock over. I love that match. That's an exciting, fun match to watch. Those guys found a way to make most of those 60 minutes very fun and exciting. I love that match. Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar, their Iron Man match on SmackDown. Also, excellent match. Sasha Banks and Bayley. Now, that was 30 minutes. That wasn't 60. But Sasha and Bayley at TakeOver a few years ago after their Brooklyn match. Excellent. Excellent stuff. And I'll throw one more on the list, too, in terms of the 60-minute ones. John Cena and Randy Orton. As sick to death as I got with all of the John Cena, Randy Orton matches that we got. That match they had at Breaking Point in 2009, where Orton was cuffed to the post and Cena was, you know, hitting him with the kendo stick, that led to the Iron Man match at Bragging Rights. And I thought it was a very good match. It was not the best Iron Man match, but I thought it was a very good, enjoyable Iron Man match between John Cena and Randy Orton. I can't say that this one is going to make the cut for me personally. If I made a top five, this one's not going to be on there. And I'm surprised too, because if you would have said to me last week that it wouldn't even make my top five, I would have said, well, what the hell went wrong? Well, we talked about what went wrong. So very good effort, but you can't give people a cop-out finish like that. I'm sorry. Not in a 60-minute match. That's not what people want to see. I understand wanting people to tune in the week after, but I just don't think this was the way to go. Wow. Well, there's the Twitter poll so far. And it sure looks like you guys are not very happy with that finish. 59.4% thumbs up. 40.6% thumbs down. I mean, it's a positive score. It is a positive score, but man, that is not what I was expecting. And again, it's a shame. It's definitely a shame because it didn't have to be that way. So go ahead and vote on Twitter if you would like, at Solomonster. We'll flash the poll a little bit later on, one more time, and we'll make sure that we get your thoughts in as far as what you thought about this match here. And I want to hear from you guys as well. Before we get into a few calls here, I do want to just catch up with some of your messages in Super Chat. If you do drop one, I will read it. And I do appreciate all of the support, everybody who supported all throughout August. Again, you guys killed it in August. We had more streams that month than I think I've ever done in a single month before. September is shaping up to be very similar, by the way. I mean, it's September 1st, and I'm already live. I'm going to be live tomorrow night for AEW. Actually, tomorrow night is the go-home show. It's the go-home episode of Dynamite. And Excalibur is supposed to be back on the show tomorrow night. So if you are a fan of Excalibur's work on commentary, I think he did commentary tonight on Dark. I don't know because I was watching the Iron Man match. If you are not a fan of Excalibur's work, well, you're shit out of luck. I don't know what to tell you. But Excalibur is going to be back on commentary. Thunder Rosa will be at action. The NWA Women's Champion will be at action ahead of her AEW Women's title match on Saturday night at All Out with Hikaru Shida. We've got Santana and Ortiz against Best Friends. We've got Chris Jericho against Joey Janela. And we've got the Young Bucks and Jurassic Express taking on Private Party and SCU. And the winning team, those two teams will face each other on Saturday night. So it's a 99.9% certainty that we're going to get Young Bucks and Jurassic Express, because I cannot imagine leaving them off the card at All Out. So that, and Jon Moxley wrestles Mark Sterling. If you're wondering who the fuck is Mark Sterling, that is the wrestler cosplaying as MJF's lawyer on TV. So we get to see Jon Moxley beat up a lawyer tomorrow night. And when is that not fun, right? When is that not fun to see a lawyer get his ass kicked? My apologies to all of the lawyers in the chat, if we have any. Jackalope Music, thank you very much. John Falchetta. We have Kevin Daly with the Super Chat. NXT should get off TV completely. NXT is definitely a different show than it used to be. Ever since it went to 2 hours, it just has not been the same. The pandemic just made it worse. I mean, there's nothing they could do about that. They didn't want NXT in the Thunderdome because they don't want to jeopardize the relationship with Full Sail. So that's why they're still there. The pandemic absolutely hurt NXT more than I think any other show has been hurt. That audience at Full Sail, those takeover shows, I mean, it's built on that fan enthusiasm and that fan interaction, as annoying as the fucking crowd can be at Full Sail sometimes with their chants. You know the old expression, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Well, we've had no audience for NXT now for about 6 months, and it sucks. But ever since they went to 2 hours last year and they moved to USA, it just has not been the same. I still enjoy it. I'm not saying it's a bad show, but it had a feel to it. It had an identity, and it's just not there anymore. It's just a very different show. Skyline, listening for 10 years as of the, as of SummerSlam. We are getting old, bro. Yeah, I say that every week on the podcast. Every time I hear some kind of new milestone or anniversary or something of some big event that happened, I say, boy, I'm getting fucking old. Dop Dop with the $5. First time donator. Really disappointed in that finish because I was looking forward to that Iron Man match. Alto Johnson, where's Triple H when you needed him? Well, you have Triple H to come out and pedigree all four guys and win the NXT championship? Give it time. Jacob Donnelly with the 10. Decided to skip NXT because I'm a bit wrestled out. Based on the ending, I'm glad that I did not. Rodimus Prime, thank you for the 5. Quintus Brown, a terrible booking on the main event. Morrow was missed. I miss the old NXT. Brian Mahoney, I think that 60-minute matches are far more effective with one fall because there is a sense of urgency that exists the entire time watching a match that lasts that long. I'm going to disagree. I mean, if you had, let's say, a one-on-one match, and this is one of the reasons I really enjoyed the Rock and Triple H match. Just think about it from a psychology perspective, right? You can believe that if it's earlier in the match, right, and let's say somebody's got you locked in a submission or whatever it may be. You'll take the fall because, you know, you look up at the clock and you see you've got 40 minutes left. It's like, you know what? Fuck it. Let him pin me. I'm going to come right back and pin him. It's more exciting, I think, to get, I don't know, 4 falls to 3, 3 falls to 2, 5 falls to 4. I wouldn't go higher than that. I think that one at Judgment Day had 6. I think it was 6 to 5. That was a little high, but no, I mean, you can have more than one fall. I cannot even attempt to pronounce this person's name. Oh, my God. But he dropped $5. So you know who you are. O-Rap. Thank you. O-Rap. We'll call him O-Rap. Who's the NXT champion? I don't know. Does Sasha Banks know how to defend her title on pay-per-view? I don't know. Is Roman Reigns a heel or a face? I don't know. JC Zephyr. Just want to say hi to you and the chat, since I will not be on due to a dinner date. Here is my donation. You mean to tell me that you are putting a dinner date with, I assume, a lovely lady over watching professional wrestling on TV? How dare you? James Griffin with the $20. Biggest super chat of the month so far. Hey, man, as a follow-up to the question I asked on Sunday, you asked me if I had anyone in mind to do an R. Kelly or to be R. Kelly in that Gail King interview. And well, since I think you're a smart guy, who could you see doing that? It could be anybody. If you wanted to have a wrestling angle that replicated that R. Kelly freak out years ago in the interview with Gail King, you plug anybody in there. Maybe not like a Roman Reigns or someone stoic like that, but I don't know. I mean, you could do it with almost anybody if you wanted to. Rob Maletta, dumb finish ever since Ciampa came back from neck surgery. Paul has buried him, losing big matches to Finn, Cole, Gargano, Cross, and now this. And Jordan, what do you think about heel DIY as tag team champions? You know, DIY was fantastic, but again, it just seems like a step down for them. But I guess if they're not going to go to the main roster, then what else are you going to do? You know, singles-wise, who do you plug them in with if you don't put them together as a team? I mean, I guess it could be cool. It almost feels beneath them, though. Because you're taking them out of the main event picture. You're taking them out of that top mix. And they don't have a lot of teams to begin with. So it's almost like if Ciampa and Gargano win the belts from Breezango, I mean, what next? You need teams. If you had a strong tag team division, I'd say, hell yeah. Where is this strong tag team division? I'll tell you what I think actually might be their best bet. If they're going to get called up to the main roster, and I know Ciampa before said that if they're going to call me up, I'll retire. And I don't know if that had more to do with just, you know, the horror stories that some people go through when they're called up or the travel or whatever. But let's say he had a change of heart, right? He's going to be called up to Raw or he's going to be called up to SmackDown. I said this on Sunday's show. The tag team division on both shows, Raw and SmackDown right now, is unbelievably weak. All the people who bitch about the women's division in AEW, you better be prepared to bitch about the tag team division in WWE. And that includes NXT. But Raw and SmackDown are not strong enough to stand on their own with two separate tag team divisions. They've got to merge those two divisions. If they're going to have a draft or a shakeup next month or in October, merge those divisions. Do exactly what you do with the women's tag belts. I like that. I like the formula of floating champions who can compete. They can have a program for a month or two with this team on this brand, and then they can float on over to this brand and pop into NXT, you know, to pop a rating or whatever and have a tag team title match. If you merge them, then you might have a decent number of teams. Even then, it's not a great tag team division. Ciampa and Gargano, though, the reason I bring this up, I would almost think that maybe you want to bring them up as a heel DIY team. I don't know that you want to bring Gargano and Ciampa up as singles, because I don't trust that if you do that, that they're not going to end up anywhere but main event. Look at what happened to Ricochet and other people. We're going to get a match on main event this week, by the way, which should be a fucking banger between Ricochet and Mustafa Pin Me. They're going to have a match on main event. Now, why that match is on main event and not on Raw, I have no fucking idea. But they're hyping it up on Twitter. I think main event drops on Thursday. I'm looking forward to watching that match. Gargano and Ciampa may be destined to land there themselves if they get brought up as single stars. Because you know the people in that company in the upper echelon there, maybe not Paul, but they're going to look at these guys, especially Gargano. He's not a big guy. I don't have any faith that if they're brought up as singles, that they're going to be put in a position to succeed as any kind of big star. Maybe you bring them up as a heel team. Because guess what? Every team could eventually be broken up. Look at what they're doing in WWE now. Sasha and Bayley, the Iconics. Miz and Morrison, I have a feeling, may be split up soon enough as well. That might be the best bet for them. I'm thinking that actually might be the best bet for them. Actually, the best bet would be just to not be called up at all. because I have absolutely zero faith whatsoever that they would do right by them. Yes, it's very sad. Somebody in the chat goes, who is Ricochet? Yes, who indeed? Let's see if 903 agrees. Don't you? Whoa. Hello? Hey. That's me. What in the world was that noise?
I don't know.
All right.
But I'm very shocked that I'm on.
So
I'm glad to be on here. First of all, I want to just say thank you. You doing a job. And I listen to you while I'm at work. I'm so surprised that you called in for me. First off, I did not see NXT tonight, but I've been listening to your review, and I am upset with that ending.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to think that Finn Balor is going to win next week. Do you think that it will be Finn Balor and Tommaso? It was supposed to be Tommaso Ciampa and Karrion Kross.
Well, I mean, Kross already beat him, so I don't know that necessarily for sure would have been the next direction. But Kross, I mean, Ciampa would have had a reason to come looking for him. You know, they were promoting his return.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
Yeah, they were promoting his return.
Like that's what they were coming for.
Yeah, it's possible, but he already beat him. So, I don't know. I guess we'll never know.
This is true.
I guess we may never know.
This is true. I feel like they're going to go with Tommaso Ciampa and Finn Balor. I hope Finn Balor does win. Last question, and I'm going to let you go. I'm really shocked up on here. Roman Reigns, I just heard that Brock Lesnar is not with the company anymore. Do you think that they're going to book Roman? To me, it looks like they're going to book Roman like they've been booking Brock Lesnar, and Roman won't be around as much, especially because of the coronavirus. I think that's what his whole new gimmick is going to be.
No.
And
no.
If they do that...
I don't think so at all.
No.
I think he'll be booked like Brock in that he's going to be Paul Heyman's new destroyer, who's probably going to have a long run, maybe up to WrestleMania with the belt. But I expect Roman to be on TV, if not every week, most weeks. I don't think he's going to part-time it. No. Look, I mean, when you say the virus, look, he's back. So if he was really concerned about the virus and his health, and I guess he feels that the Thunderdome is a better setting and things are better now. I don't think that has anything to do with it at all. If he was concerned about his health, he wouldn't be on TV. So if you're going to be the champion, you can't be doing the shit where, well, you know, because of the virus, I'm only going to show up once a month. Drop the fucking belt then. Why are you back? So I don't think that has any...
I'm just scared that they're going to do it.
I think he's going to be
full-time.
I'm scared
that's how Vince thinks.
He'll be full-time.
I hope so. I do hope so.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Well, thank you so much, Solomon, for taking my call. And I'm glad you're doing this on a Tuesday. I'm usually working on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, but I'm so glad to get in touch with you. So I appreciate you. You keep doing what you're doing, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it. Take care. Yeah, usually I'm not ever streaming on Tuesdays because NXT doesn't even air on Tuesdays. I'll tell you this. I think this might be the move for NXT. Let's see what the numbers are tomorrow. NXT did really well the last couple of weeks. NXT, without the competition from AEW head-to-head, has done in excess of 800,000 viewers. And they really heavily promoted this main event. I hope they didn't turn off viewers by hoodwinking them into thinking they were going to get a winner tonight. That's one way you could potentially chase viewers away. But if the show does well again tonight, I would seriously consider it. I know NXT was first, so why should they give up the night? Because they get their asses kicked most weeks. That's the fact. Head-to-head, AEW usually beats NXT. And clearly they're siphoning off anywhere from 100,000 to 200,000 viewers that NXT could be potentially getting. So for that reason alone, if I'm WWE, if I'm USA Network, I'm looking at these numbers. If they stay strong, I'm thinking about moving NXT to Tuesdays. That might be the way to go. That way you avoid the head-to-head, and both shows can get the max whatever audience is there to get. I still don't think either show is going to pull a million or more viewers a week, but I think it'll help keep the AEW or the NXT numbers strong. So I would definitely be thinking about that if I were USA. I don't know what they normally air on Tuesdays. USA doesn't seem to have a lot of hit shows anymore like they used to. They used to have a few. What's the big USA show now, if not for wrestling? What do they have? Is it that Miz game show? I watched that Miz game show, by the way. Cannonball. I like stuff like that. It's all right. It's kind of fucking lame, though. It looks like a version of Wipeout. I used to love Wipeout. Yeah, John Anderson or... Is it John Anderson? Yeah, John Anderson and John Henson, I think, were the hosts. Wipeout was a fun show. I mean, these people, they were trying to kill these people on that show. I don't know how more than one person didn't die. I think there was one person who died, but Wipeout was a fun show with challenging obstacles. I watched the first episode of this new Cannonball show, and it's all just sliding for distance. Who gives a shit? What's so fun about that? That's all they're doing. They're just jumping down like a water slide and seeing who goes the farthest. Where's like the ring of flames? Where's the thing that pops out and hits them in the face as they're trying to make their way across? Where's all the cool stuff? It's a fucking lame game show. Is that the best that USA Network has? Do they not have any other hit shows? You mean to tell me that there's something more important on Tuesday nights where they can't move NXT into that slot if they wanted to? I find that hard to believe. Hello, my friend. Who am I talking to?
Josh from New Orleans.
What's going on, Josh?
I'm doing good, man. Thankfully, that hurricane is done. But, dude, I don't know what it is with NXT. I mean, it was a decent show. I thought all four of these guys in the main event, they really busted their ass to try to say this was one of the best matches. But that ending, like, I get what they were trying to do, but if you're going to promise something, maybe you shouldn't have done the match anyway. I want to know, do you think they should have, like, done, like, a tournament or something like that instead of the Iron Man match?
I feel like we've seen a lot of tournaments already. Rob Johnson in the chat says, first-time viewer, what's going on, Rob? I hope you're not one of the ones getting lag. Usually everything's cool, but tonight's a little weird. But thank you for joining. I appreciate that. I mean, I think doing a match and not a tournament is fine. But looking at what they did tonight, I mean, given the finish, yeah, maybe we should have had like a little mini tournament or something.
Yeah. But, I mean, and I just finished watching Impact, and I know you don't watch Impact that much, but you don't mind if I give you the spoiler real quick on the main event?
For Impact?
Yeah.
Go for it. It's fine with me. Oh, wait, whoa, hold on, hold on. If anybody in the chat, I should have some consideration for the Impact fans, I guess. So if there's anybody in the chat who does not want their Impact main event spoiled, if you are an Impact viewer, then this is the part where you should probably mute for 20 seconds or 30 seconds. Now you can go ahead and tell me what happened on Impact.
Eric Young's the new world champion.
Interesting. You know, I've heard a lot of good things about Eric Young ever since he came back to Impact, especially these last few weeks. I've heard a lot of praise for Eric Young. And it just goes to show you, you know, he was another one. I personally was not a huge proponent of him coming to WWE, or I don't know, just felt to me like he wasn't somebody that would have really fit well in there. And I guess it kind of proved my point, because they never did jack shit with him. And to see him having success outside of WWE is a cool thing, because WWE never gave two shits about Eric Young. And Eric Young came out and talked about his conversations with Vince McMahon and the broken system in WWE. And so if he's going out and having success and you know, putting on some of the best matches he's had in years, then he wouldn't be the first one who WWE dropped the ball on. They could have done something with him.
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything with him. So yeah. I'm happy for him.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm like, it really caught me by surprise, because I was watching both shows at the same time. But, and I'm like,
at least we got a new champion. I mean, I wish they could have, like, this is just me saying this, and I think they should really take notes on this. Don't advertise something that you're going to promise and you don't deliver. And I think that was the thing that really hurt the main event for me. But look, I understood what they try to do. They want to get people interested for next week's show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could have done it without that, just saying. I mean, that's just how I'm seeing it.
Yeah. No, I mean, they could have gone any number of ways with it if they wanted to do that. You know what you could have done? If they knew they were going to have 2 weeks of this Super Tuesday nonsense, then they should have had some kind of a match this week. And they've done this before. If you remember years ago, when Shawn Michaels was the Intercontinental Champion, he got popped for steroids, as the story goes, failed a drug test. And so he was suspended.
Right.
And on Monday Night Raw, they had a battle royal. They had a 20-man battle royal. And the rules were that the last two men left standing in the battle royal would go on the following week to have a singles match to crown a new Intercontinental Champion. It was Razor Ramon against Rick the Model Martel. They were the last two men in the ring. They went to Raw the next week, and they had a match, and they had a finish, and a new champion was crowned. So you know what? Why couldn't they do something like that? Maybe they should have had a battle royal. Even if it was just, even if it was 10 men, 10, 15, 20 man battle royal, you could have had that go, maybe not an hour, but you could have had that go 30, 40 minutes with the stipulation that whoever the final two men left standing are on part two of Super Tuesday, they go on to have a singles match, and then we're going to crown a new NXT champion. So instead of doing the bait and switch because they want the viewers by making them think they're going to have a new champion, and then we're like, oops, sorry, we're just kidding. Don't lie to your fucking audience. You have that match, the Battle Royal, and the last two men left standing could be Finn Balor and Adam Cole, and they go on the next week and have a championship match. Why couldn't you do that? At least then you're not insulting your audience.
I felt like they could have done that. And I don't even recall NXT doing anything like that before they moved to USA Network.
No, they never did. NXT was always always the belle of the ball. Everybody, the way that people kind of talk about AEW now is the way people used to talk about NXT. You never saw stuff like that. You never saw, it was very rare. I used to say when NXT maybe had a story that I wasn't really into, or there was a story that I didn't know where it was going, I would say, you know what? I trust them. I put my faith and trust in Triple H and NXT because they haven't let me down yet. I felt the same way about Lucha Underground. I didn't worry about the booking so much because rarely, if ever, was I left angry or disappointed when a big match or a show was over. So yeah, that used to be NXT. NXT had that reputation. And they still have a good reputation, but it's just, it's not the same. This is not something you would have seen a year ago or 3 years ago in NXT.
Right. And I was just thinking, I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, I want the old NXT back. And look, I know it's a long stretch. Mauro's gone. He's doing his own thing now. I mean, I'm going to miss the guy on NXT. I think that's the thing that really made NXT so special, in my honest opinion, because it was his legit passion of the sport that he loves. Like, any sport he called, I think it's a legit passion that nobody could ever duplicate. And maybe as soon as he left, I'm like, I think that's part of the thing that's going to be different with NXT that we got to get used to, in my honest opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Anything else before I let you go?
Well, I know it's September, and I have a birthday that's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks, so I'm going to be turning 27, so lucky 27, I guess.
Yeah, congratulations. Happy early birthday. What day is your birthday?
It's on the 24th.
Okay, so that Sunday is a WWE pay-per-view. That's going to be their gift to you, Clash of Champions.
Lucky. Oh, joy. That's like...
Lucky you.
My birthday.
Lucky you.
Yeah, like, oh joy.
All right, well, listen, Happy early birthday, and hopefully you will. I don't know what day of the week is that. Is that a Thursday?
I think that's on a Thursday.
Okay. Well, I'll be streaming live after Clash of Champions. So even if Clash of Champions is a dud, you at least can come back here and join the stream.
Oh, I will.
Awesome.
I will.
Cool.
All right. Nice talking to you, man.
You too. 301.
Good evening, Fellow Monster. This is Ren from Pittsburgh.
How are you doing?
I am doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing just dandy.
Overall, I would say that I enjoyed the show tonight. But a question I had for you was regarding Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martinez. I was wondering if you think that this feud should have waited until one of them became the champion. Because I know like a cage match between them would be really cool, but I think a cage match for the title would be even better. What do you think?
I think a cage match for the title would have been cool, but I guess they just don't have any plans to put the belt on either one of them, so why wait? Because I think Rhea Ripley is going to be on Raw or SmackDown in the next few months. They may not just have time. Mm-hmm. I think they may look at it and go, you know, Rhea's not going to be here 6 months from now, so let's just get this done now. I think Rhea Ripley against Mercedes Martinez could be a feud for the SmackDown women's title or the Raw women's title one day. So you may get your wish.
Awesome. And then the last question that I have would be, do you think that the Iron Man match would have benefited since it was no disqualification, if they had brought in weapons? Do you think that would have made it more exciting?
I don't think it would have made that much of a difference. I think it's that finish. That finish really soured people on the match. Plus, we had weapons in the opening match, so you can't really have a street fight to open the show and then basically have like another street fight at the end. To me, that's a little redundant. So if they were going to do it, then you would have had to just change the rules of the opener. But I don't think chairs and tables and stuff would have made that much of a difference. I think people just wanted a great match with a finish, and people didn't get that, and weapons were not going to change how they felt about that finish.
That makes sense. Well, thank you for taking my call, and I hope you have a good evening.
Sure, absolutely. Call back again very soon. Yeah, Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martinez, I could see that as... I don't know if they see Mercedes Martinez, though, as somebody that they would put the time in and invest in on the main roster just because she's a veteran of the ring. She's been around for so long. If age is an issue for them, and it shouldn't if the talent is there, but I can understand them saying, why are we going to kind of invest in this person if, you know, she may not be around for that long or something. I don't know. So, but Rhea, for sure. Rhea is the future. Rhea will be where Charlotte Flair and Sasha Banks and all of them are. Becky Lynch. I mean, Becky took off in a way nobody could have expected. But Rhea will be among the top women featured in that company for many years to come. 917.
Hey, Solomos, what's up? It's JC Zephyr.
Hey, JC, what's going on?
I'm good. Can't complain. Well, maybe for the main event finish tonight, because I was really hyped for this. But that's WWE for you. What are you going to do?
What'd you think of the show? Aside from the finish, what'd you think of the show?
Dude, that's funny, because I actually just tuned in just for the main event. So, I mean, I just decided to listen to your podcast and hear your thoughts on the entirety of the show anyway. So, but I did want to ask you something. It's one of those buy and sell and rent questions. So, aside from Adam Cole, who would you buy, sell, or rent on a long reign in NXT? Balor, Ciampa, or Neville?
You mean as far as the reigns that they had?
Yeah, as NXT champion.
Balor, Ciampa, or Neville? I liked Neville. I gotta tell you, I liked Pac when he was the champion. Balor had a good reign too, though. I might go Balor on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I might go Balor on that.
All right. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I mean, he did kind of put NXT on the map anyway. And Ciampa, I mean, I think his reign was kind of incorporated between the storyline between Gargano and him.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that Aleister Black, unfortunately, was kind of a transitional champion in that moment. to kind of elevate that storyline. And Neville, I mean, as great as he was, I mean, he had an incredible reign. I mean, not many people really remember it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, he had some great matches, like, during those takeovers, like, against, like, Sami Zayn, Tyson Kidd, Breeze, and many others. And, you know, and, of course, they had that classic at Our Revolution, which I think kind of helped put NXT even more on the map.
Yeah. Those
I understand where you're coming from.
I love those old takeover main events. I mean, one of my favorite ones that doesn't get talked about enough, I think, is there was a four-way. I think it was Neville, Tyson Kidd, Tyler Breeze, and Sami Zayn, I believe maybe it was. But those older...
Yeah, that was a TakeOver Fatal 4-Way.
Those TakeOver main events don't get enough love, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, yeah. I mean, but they're hidden gems, I guess you could say. Same thing with when Neville beat Bo Dallas in that ladder match at Arrival when the network first launched.
That's right.
Back in 2014.
That's right.
That's a great one as well.
Cool.
So, but, I mean, what can I say? But, I mean, like you said earlier, I mean, NXT kind of is losing its waning away because that fan interaction in Full Sail makes it special.
It's forgetting what brought them to the dance. And also, I think it's just completely foolish because whether they want to admit it or not, they're competing with AEW. There's a competition every week with NXT and AEW. And I will say this about AEW. There are weeks where I think it's a good show. There are weeks where I think it's a great show. But I'm not, you know, sometimes the show is not as strong as it is other weeks. But the one thing they don't do, typically, they don't fuck you over on these finishes or by false advertising something. And they make a conscious, I've heard Tony Khan talk about it. There's like certain things they don't do. You don't see disqualifications. The only time I could ever remember a DQ on an AEW show was the... Ironically, I think it was the Iron Man match. It was a 30-minute Iron Man match with Pac and Kenny Omega. And that was a DQ in the first fall, but it didn't end the match. And I think there's a place for DQ finishes in wrestling. But they just made the decision that we're not interested in doing that. We're not going to screw the audience over. If we have a match, there's going to be a finish. So I appreciate that. And I just think to myself, you're in this competition, you're in this battle for viewers with this other show. Why would you do that? You know, why would you kind of, I don't know, why would you insult your audience that way? It just seems foolish to me. I still don't understand why they didn't go with the Battle Royal idea to set up a singles match for week two. I think that really would have made more sense to me.
Yeah, I think there was also a DQ finish. Not a DQ finish, but I think a DQ in the Brock Lesnar-Kurt Angle match that kind of set the tone for the entirety of the match of where it was going. Pretty much Lesnar being the heel, the chicken shit heel that he was.
Yeah, which is, and that's fine. And that's
trying
fine.
To forget the event.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, but I did love that Iron Man match from AEW, but I'm going to let you go. I don't want to keep you on here that long. When everyone else get an opportunity, she'll shout out to the chat. And I would love to see you guys tomorrow, but of course, as I said earlier, got a date. So, you know, best of luck, Solomon.
Well, fancy boy over here. He's got a date. He's dropping us. He's dropping us like a bad habit because he's got some dates.
No. I don't know what you're talking about, homie.
You know what? If you record, record footage of this date, and then I'll run it on the stream like next week so we can see part of this date.
Oh my goodness.
Then we can critique. We can critique your etiquette. We can critique like what you did right, what you did wrong.
No.
Solomonster, I'll have my little dating advice segment. Solomonster's dating
tips.
Oh
my God.
Yeah, we'll make something out of this, man. We're going to make something out of this. You better do that. I want you to do that, okay?
Well, have a better finish than tonight's main event, that's for sure.
That's what she said.
Oh, man. Indeed. Take care, man.
You too. That was JC Zephyr dropping us. He's dropping us. He's dropping us for a date. How dare you? What is wrong with you? Why would you do such a thing? Why would you do such a thing? Let's, you like my idea though, right? Wouldn't that be cool? Right? So we can get a sense of, you know, how he did on the date and if he made her, you know, when she inevitably doesn't call him back, he's going to be wondering why, how come, what did I do wrong? Right? Well, if we have the chance to see, we can help. We can critique. We can say, well, you did this, you did that, you paid for the meal. Don't do that. First date, you know, don't pay for everything. That's the scam. That's the poll. The poll right there reflects everything I just said. 59.4 up, 40 down. That is the worst showing. It's positive overall, but that is the worst showing for an NXT show in the poll that I think I have ever seen. Of all the polls I put up every week, that is not what I was expecting to see when I put that poll up a couple of hours ago. I'm going to be back with you again tomorrow night, live after AEW Dynamite goes off the air. I'll be back here talking about the go-home show, and then I will be back again with you on Saturday night after All Out. There is an AEW pay-per-view this weekend. And then Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, episode 668 of The Sound Off drops, as it does every Sunday. You will get another podcast, and then we'll come back and do NXT again for Super Tuesday Part 2. Maybe we'll actually get a new champion next week. Maybe. I shouldn't say that we are guaranteed a new champion, but I expect and hope that we will have a new champion next week. So, until then, be well, stay safe. Again, if you had any issues here, I apologize. We'll try to get that fixed, but thank you for all your support. Again, we had a killer August, and hopefully we'll have an even better September. See you tomorrow night for AEW. Take care, guys.